your light. He enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes. He never is gone. So count on his presence in darkness and dawn. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only believe.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe today. Help our unbelief. Help it to go away, Lord. Take away all doubt. You are the dissolver of doubts. Come and make yourself plain, Lord. Reveal yourself. Lord, maybe there's one here today that doesn't know you, Lord. They just happened into the building and they don't really know you. They don't understand the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want them to know grace today. We want them to know that you took our place. You paid the price that we could not pay. And by our simple faith in what you did, we're saved from death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done on Calvary. We could never repay you, Lord. But here in this life, while we're yet in this tabernacle, help us to yield to your spirit. Help us to get out of the way. Help us to truly enter the promised land, the land of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah, Señor.
That we cease from our works and we watch you take over. We watch you conquer every enemy. Lord, help us today. Lord, I confess that I'm unworthy and unprofitable, Lord. If you would not come, there's nothing good that could be done today. But we're trusting you, Lord, that you will come, that you'll bless each one today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Just a few announcements before we get into the scriptures. God bless you.
Amen.
We want to say it's a boy. I guess you read the notice in the back. Patty and Sean had their baby gender reveal party yesterday, and it was kind of neat how it all worked out. So the roads were a little messy, but so they had a little box in there, and they had activities. And then at the end, the highlight is when they pulled the box, and all these blue balloons came out. And that's the first time you found out, right? And we all found out together that it's a boy. That's what I said. It was going to be a boy, didn't I tell you, Sean? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, someone said girls are complicated, but I don't know. I guess that's...
Complex.
Complex. Okay. But I always say, you know, when we had four boys and three girls, and when you swat the boys because they were wrong, they would cry and they kind of get over it. But the girls would hold it for 4 or 5 days looking at you like, you know, I was like, whoa, something different there. But anyway, but no, what would we do without little girls? And it was funny because Sean and Patty both thought it was a girl, didn't you? That's right. So, well, maybe the next one or the next one. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I like to see all these babies. In our family, there's babies popping out all over the place. And so it's a good thing. So I think it's good. You know, we learn a lot from kids. You know, I think it helps us to look up to our Heavenly Father and realize what He puts up with. Right? Because as Tim said, we love our children and God loves us, but sometimes it's frustrating, right? And when they don't do what they're supposed to do, or and you know, we try to instruct them what's best for them and then they still don't do it. And we wonder, why don't they trust me or believe me? So, you know, some people have to learn by making their own mistakes, but like a wise man learns from everybody else's mistakes, right? So we should look back in the Old Testament and learn from Israel's mistakes and not do the same things. And if we find a wise man like God, we should obey him, our Heavenly Father. So appreciated the special song today, Yesha. Did I say it right? Did I? Okay. Tim, I'll work with you on that. So I used to say it wrong too, didn't I?
Yes.
What did I used to say? Okay. So don't feel bad, Tim. So praise the Lord. We have a fellowship meal today, and everybody's welcome to fellowship together and have something to eat. And then later this month, on the 28th, is a Thursday, last Thursday in the month, we're going to have communion and foot washing service here at 7:30. And then Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve falls on a Sunday this year. We'll have our normal Sunday service in the morning. So praise the Lord. Just wanted to mention that. Could we all stand while we read from the scriptures, Hebrews? We're going to continue into the Promised Land. Last week we started with the Promised Land, part one, and it was just so much. So Hebrews 3, verse 18, and then we're going to continue into Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. But let's ask the Lord to bless His word to us. Once again, let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we know it's a privilege for us to read from this great book, because it's not just a book. It's the Word of God. But Lord, we also are conscious it takes Your Spirit to come and quicken this word. Any man that's able to read can read the words, but it takes Your great, sweet Holy Spirit to come and quicken it to each individual. Lord, I ask You to move me aside today. Take control of my mind and my heart and my being. And Lord, just lead me and use me as You will to bless Your people. Bless the reading of Your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 3:18. And to whom swear he that they would, that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And it's interesting, Tim was commenting on that at the end of the song service. I do believe that's our greatest problem.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Branham identified that sin really is unbelief. And we tend, as people, to focus on the outside things. We tend to focus on the murderer or the thief or the robber or the adulterer or the perversion. But really the heart of it is unbelief in the Word of God.
Right.
That's the root of the problem that causes some people to do those things.
Right.
Right? So unbelief is the problem. And they could not enter in because of unbelief. And remember last week, they were afraid of what the enemy was. The enemy was too great. The enemy was too big. Yes, the land is everything you said it was, God said it was, but we can't take it because they're too big. See, so they were looking and trusting their view instead of God's promise, which says, I give you the land.
Right.
Joshua and Caleb had the right view. We're more than able to take it.
Right.
Let's go in now.
Yeah.
We don't need anything else because we have God on our side. And that's the attitude you and I must take to the land of the Holy Ghost. Don't say, well, when I get good enough, when I get strong enough, when I'm ready. No, we're not the fight. He's the warrior.
Right.
We get out of the way.
Yeah.
and we let him conquer. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You may be seated. God bless you. The promised land. The Holy Ghost is our Joshua today. And the land of the Holy Ghost is the promised land for us today. Now, we talked about last week, it's not that there aren't any battles there. There was many battles there. But we were promised to overcome every enemy.
Right?
And we're going to talk about that today. So, the rest, of course, is the Holy Ghost. Now, I do believe many Christians struggle with this because they don't understand getting out of the way. They don't understand yielding to the Lord. And many times people act in their human abilities. And we dealt with that last week. Brother Branham said there's one thing we must master is this thought of human ability. We must master it to the place where we're not trusting or using our human abilities. We're trusting in God alone. And see, what happens when people trust in human abilities, they try to manipulate the situation for what they want. And they actually sometimes can get out of the will of God actually meaning well. Help us, Lord, to know the difference between a human desire and God's desire. A human effort and God's effort. See, that is one of our great challenges. How do you know when it's God? How do you know when it's you? See, and it comes back to motives and objectives, and sometimes there's a wrong motive inside you and you're not aware of it. In other words, you want something to appear good, so you manipulate the situation so it looks good on the outside. But if God looks to fix the inside of the inside, and when the inside of the inside is fixed, then the outside naturally reflects that.
Amen.
See, so for instance, you know, if someone comes to me, I'll pick on the sisters again. I can't cut my hair because the church, you know, won't let me. Well, that's really not looking at it the right way, you see. If you don't understand what the Word of God says and God's desire and what God's Word says about it, and you're just legalistically not cutting your hair, it's like you have cut hair.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
I believe I could show you in the Bible where it says a woman shouldn't cut her hair.
Right.
Okay, now you can reason it, you can listen to all the modern interpretations and everything, but in the end, if you just simply look at it and God gives you a revelation of it, then it's a no-brainer. And a woman can actually have short hair, but have long hair in God's eyes.
Right.
Because in her heart, she believes
right.
what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Right? Praise the Lord. Like, because in the natural, some different cultures, some women have a different kind of hair. I mean, Sister Winnie used to say, my hair's kinky, and you know, she would get all caught up in the appearance, but it's not about the appearance. If you believe God, your hair's down to your feet.
Amen.
And that applies to all so many other things. We don't want to worry about the outside. We want to see the inside.
Amen.
Brother, God said to Samuel, man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. So I don't want, for instance, my loved ones to come to church and appear to be Christians alone. I want them to really be Christians.
Amen.
So again, sometimes we Christians can be focused on the wrong thing and manipulate the situation because we don't want the embarrassment of something that doesn't appear right. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
You know, God's in control, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. It's humming a little bit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, doesn't mean there won't be any more battles. Actually, you haven't started the battle till you got the Holy Ghost. You're just tossed around to and fro. You don't even realize what's going on. You don't realize. See, our greatest enemy is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is our self man.
Amen.
God has designed us in a certain way where we live in the battle zone.
Amen.
Christians fight many hard battles and nobody knows anything about it.
Right.
Because the greatest battle ever fought's in your mind.
That's right.
And if you're not engaged in that battle, you're losing. You're being overcome. But we are predestinated to the adoption of children. We are predestinated to be overcomers in this age.
Yes.
And that means people engage in the battle of the mind.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
All right. So Christians don't necessarily need other people to see what's happening because they know God sees what's happening. Christians don't necessarily need other people to applaud when they win a battle.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Right? They know God sees. And that's the only opinion that matters. Praise God. The thing we need to see that Israel, they had many battles in the promised land, but they were given the promise that God would overcome their enemies little by little. You know, we want a once and done deal. We always want a battle. I fought it once and I'm done. But see, that's not a Christian life. We fight every day of our life.
Amen.
And if we're not fighting that battle, then see, the Holy Ghost needs to fight that battle inside of us. And we need to follow him. So God promised Israel the land. He was determined to give them the land, but some could not enter because of their unbelief, as the Bible said. Others did enter and became overcomers. And that's a type of Christians. Remember, Israel, God deals with as a nation, and in Gentiles, it's individuals.
Right.
So we have a group of people here, just a small group of people, but within this group, people are at all different levels in their battle, all different places in their walk with God.
Amen.
And you and I, we couldn't figure out where everybody is, but God knows exactly where we are.
Amen.
And I always say, it doesn't matter where you are, it matters which way you're going.
That's right.
You could be a sinner off the street, and you give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you surrender everything, and you're going the right way.
Right.
Right? But you could be a longtime Christian, and you could be backsliding in your heart, and you're not as close to God as that sinner that just came off the street, doesn't know hardly anything.
Amen.
Because which way is your heart pointed?
Amen.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. So we want to be overcomers. We need to focus on the promises and the blessings of the Holy Ghost. Focus on the promises and the blessings of the Holy Ghost. And realize that we shall overcome. Even when things look impossible or difficult or too big. Too difficult, too big. Do you ever face that? And in your mind, you say, I don't understand. I don't know how I can overcome. I just can't see it. That's where faith kicks in.
Amen.
He promised me that I would overcome.
Amen.
Faith and trust in that promise will get you much further than worrying and doubting and whining.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Faith. You know, the law puts you in prison. Grace gets you out.
Amen.
We will overcome not because of our ability.
Right.
So again, we have to detach from that idea. Everything in this world is about your ability. But in the kingdom of God, it's about his ability. Brother Branham said in that quote about ability that God chooses his heroes are people that were weak. And they knew they couldn't do it. They tried to run from it. But God chose them because of that weakness. And then through that very weakness, they were able to be heroes for God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I look at that and I think, you know, we need to realize why are we going to be overcomers? Not because of us, but because of what he promised to do and because of what he will do. See, here's the thing. He's supernatural. So we need to trust when we can't figure out a way that the supernatural God is going to make a way. Do we believe like that? Do we think like that? Or do we fall back into that natural thinking all the time? You will not overcome as a Christian. You will not be an overcomer in the promised land if you're always looking at the way things are. You need to look at the way things will be because of what he promised. Like the little boy on the bicycle, right? Oh, they all fell off because they were looking where they are. The one that overcame, he was looking where he was going. That's the way we need to be. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Again, I want you to look at what God promised to Israel because they're a type of us going into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1.
Amen.
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess.
Oh, excuse me for a minute. I don't like the glasses.
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Let me stop for a moment. Doesn't matter that the enemy is greater.
Amen.
Doesn't matter that the enemy is mightier.
Amen.
Doesn't matter that it looks impossible.
Amen.
Israel, the people that didn't go into the promised land, are the ones that focused on the size of the enemy, the size of the problem.
Right.
Let's just get right down to it. If I look at myself all the time, my greatest enemy, I'll be depressed.
Amen.
My greatest enemy is me. And you could say, well, I know me. Listen, you don't know me like I know me. Right? If you knew me, you'd understand how depressed I am. I get it. But we shouldn't look at the size of our enemy.
Amen.
We should look at the size of our God.
Amen.
And realize He created me. So that I, at right now at this crossroads in my life, right now at this time in my life, I need to make a choice. Am I going to focus on the size of my enemy or the size and ability of my God to overcome my enemy, which would be myself, the devil, the worldly trends, everything? Praise God. Doesn't matter how great they are. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou, verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. You know, many times we have way too much mercy on our flesh. Our flesh man is the biggest whiner in the world. No, please, I don't like that. Help us, Lord. Utterly destroy them, make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall thou not give to his son, nor his son shall thou take to thy son. His daughter shall take to thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are on the face of the earth. Now notice verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. Why do we always go back to that? There's not enough people. How many people does God need? He just needs one person in his hand, completely yielded, right?
Yes.
That's what he's looking for. But the world takes comfort in numbers.
Right.
We even do it as churches. Well, I went to a big church and there was 1,000 people there and the worship was so much better. And listen, that's human.
Right.
See, I understand that. But what does God want? He didn't choose Israel because they were more in number, right? Why is it around the message most churches are very small? And the ones that are big usually support missions somewhere. God's doing something that we don't understand.
Amen.
All right. Except when you go to the African countries, there's thousands and thousands in the churches. But they have other battles to deal with. They have other battles and trials. Praise God. Now, the Lord did not set his love upon thee, nor choose thee, because thou were more in number, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep an oath, the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, I love this part, he is God.
Amen. Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
The faithful God.
Amen.
He is God. He's the faithful God. Someday, you're going to get the revelation about how faithful God is, and you're going to get excited.
Amen.
You'll be all by yourself, and you'll be shouting.
Hallelujah.
Right? You'll be dancing around because, you know what? God is faithful.
Amen.
The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. We should feel sorry for people that don't love God. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep to do them, the Lord thy God will keep unto thee the covenant and mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Look at verse 13. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb. Look at the blessings. And the fruit of thy land, he's going to bless it. Thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of the sheep, and the lamb which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Look at the blessings. Thou shalt be blessed above all people.
Amen.
Abraham was blessed. People were jealous of Abraham. Why? He was so blessed.
Amen.
God had blessed him. We are the children of Abraham.
Amen.
By faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't be surprised if somebody's jealous of you. They shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses. Praise God.
Amen.
He's the Lord thy God that healeth all thine diseases.
Amen.
Why don't we get healed? I hate to say it. You don't want to be cruel. It's unbelief.
Amen.
He promised it. Is he not able? Well, I know he's able, but maybe not for me. See, that's that little bit of unbelief. Lord, help us to latch on to the promise just with bulldog faith, with bare hands, right?
Amen.
The Lord thy God healeth all my diseases. Brother Branham stressed that. He said, how did Moses with 2 million people come out and they weren't sick? And he said, he was a Dr. Moses, right? What was his prescription? I am the Lord that healeth all thine diseases. Praise God. Amen. And the Lord will take away thee all sicknesses, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity on them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart. Now watch. He's concerned about what we say in our heart. These nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. God does not want you to be afraid.
Amen.
Yes, there's a place for fear of God, but that's a reverence. That's a positive fear that causes positive action. But the dread fear of the devil, God doesn't want you to have that at all.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't fear. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand, the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them until they are left and hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. Be destroyed. Thou shalt not be afraid at them. For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. I love that.
Hey.
Our God is a mighty God.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
He's a mighty God. He's a warrior. See, many times you're in a battle and you're trying to do it and you can't do it, and he's waiting for us to get out of the way.
Amen.
So he can do it.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to take the credit and say, I did this and I did that. He wants you to know you can't do anything. And when you get to the place where you know you can't do it and you say, God, I'm going to step out of the way, he's a warrior. Wham! He comes right in and exposes that thing and deals with that thing and overcomes. Praise God. I know
Amen.
It. Greatest lesson I've learned in the last 10 years. Get out of the way.
Amen.
Let him fight the battle. Whenever we fight it, we get in the way of God.
Amen.
We don't help him. We get in his way. I know it's a hard lesson because we always want to do something. You know, man always wants to earn his own salvation. Brother Branham, say it. That's your flesh getting in the way of God. The Lord God, a mighty God and terrible. Verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee all at once. Is that what it says?
No.
The Lord thy God. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. You know, we don't like that. Let's just face it. Lord, do it all at once. Get it all done. But he has a reason for what he's doing. There's a purpose in what he's doing. It's not good for us for him to just clear out everything and then one battle and then clear sailing. No. It's better for us to have these little by little successes. So, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. So there's a purpose in it. There's a reason for it. The natural people had a natural reason so the beasts of the field wouldn't come in. But we are spiritual people going into a spiritual land, and there's a spiritual reason why. Could be different for every one of us. Now watch. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven, and there shall be no man able to stand before thee until thou hast destroyed him. Now, how does that apply to us? What are the battles that we are having? We have battles in our mind. We have strongholds in our mind, and we'll get into that. We're fighting great battles, and God has promised to give them to you. See, there could be something in your life that you see, man, this is where I always trip up. This is where I always fall down. And you struggle and struggle. God's going to give you the head of that king.
Thank you, Jesus.
Could be a spirit.
Yes.
Could be a spirit that, you know, a familiar spirit. Something that, you know, troubles you. Those demons don't go away. God just promised we'd overcome them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't have any problems. Anybody with no problems? Huh? We got battles.
A whole lot of them, brother.
And you know what we always say? Maybe it's just me. You know, maybe I'm the only one that has. No, everybody has these battles.
Amen.
Everybody.
Yes.
I remember one time Brother Perry Green told me that he had trouble in his mind, thoughts. Perverted thoughts in his mind, and he felt so bad about it, and he went to talk to Brother Branham about it, and Brother Branham said, you're going to have to do what I do. And he's like, what? You don't have no problems. You don't have no battles. We all have battles.
Amen.
If people are honest about it,
right.
See, because the devil has access, our mind is not who we are.
Right.
He can put thoughts into your mind.
That's right.
You know, that was such a revelation for me when I realized.
Yeah.
Not everything we think is who we are.
That's right. Hallelujah.
We are who what we believe in our soul.
Amen.
See, and what we believe is contrary to some thought coming into our mind, that's where the battle takes place.
Amen.
Do we accept or reject that
Amen.
Thought?
Amen.
And of course, the Holy Ghost and on the throne having preeminence in your soul, if it's not according to the Word of God, he says, no, reject. And then we got something in there we don't fully understand. It's like, well, we could obey. We should just obey like that. Or we could disobey and entertain evil thoughts. And that's where you get a problem.
Amen.
Right? Help us, Lord.
Amen, brother. That's good. Amen.
All right. We're talking about the promised land. We're talking about overcoming. Praise the Lord. He shall deliver. Now remember, the spies who gave the evil report, they were afraid of the enemy. They trusted in their own view of the situation. This is where we get in trouble. We trust our eyes and what we hear in our mind. And remember, the Bible declares the carnal mind, which we all have that, is enmity against God. So your carnal reasonings can be contrary to the Word of God. In other words, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. Yes, the supernatural God is not reasonable.
Amen.
the scientists in their carnal mind, they say, look how big the universe is. If we're the only ones here in the universe, this is the only planet, what a waste of space. They don't know what they don't know. But see, their carnal mind reasons them away from there's a God who has a plan. And he could have just written everything out there before he wrote it in this book. See, God, I think one day we're going to be really surprised at what he did with the whole universe. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. He does live, and he did create all this. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. So faith that there is a God, a creator who lives outside of all that we can see, taste, and feel, who's a supernatural God that condescended and became a man and took up the cross and died for us, believing that, having faith and trusting that, helps you overcome in this life.
That's right.
But when you doubt that gospel story, that's when you have a problem. When you doubt God. He doesn't want us to be afraid of the enemy. He wants us to know and believe that he is mighty in battle.
Amen.
He will fight for us and we will overcome because of him. Our God's a warrior and he loves to bring us to victory. This is something you need in your mind. See, too many times people get a little rebellious against God and their heart turns the wrong way, and then when they have a problem, they get condemned. And they don't realize God's on their side. He wants them to overcome.
Amen.
Look at the blessings of Israel. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy 28. See, if we can only trust in God and serve him with all of our hearts, there's so many blessings. Israel had so many blessings promised to them, and yet they couldn't quite completely trust in God. Some of them did, some of them didn't. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. Listen, if you obey God and you follow the word of God with all your heart, he's going to exalt you in your life. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I do believe it. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. How would you like some blessings to just overtake your life?
Yes.
If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Amen.
I'm just going to enjoy this a little bit. Is that all right? Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thy be thy basket and thy store.
Amen.
Blessed.
Amen.
Blessings follow Abraham. And the children of Abraham.
Amen.
Everything he put his hand to do was blessed. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed thou that shalt be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Is this the promise of God?
Amen.
Sure is. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of the cattle, in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
It's good to serve God.
Yes, it is. Amen.
You know, it's what we call a no-brainer.
That's right, brother. Amen.
But you won't do it if you got unbelief in your life.
Amen.
You won't trust him. You won't believe him and you won't serve him, and you'll end up serving some other gods that'll take you down.
Amen.
But if you serve him with all your heart, there's only blessings to be seen. Praise God. Now watch the fruit of thy ground. What verse am I on? The Lord shall open unto thee his good pleasure, the heaven to rain unto thy land in a season to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or the left to go after other gods to serve them. Amen.
Amen.
Is that wonderful?
Yes.
That's what you need to look at. Now, it is true. Yes, it is true. Israel was told, and you can read, you know, the rest of the chapter, if you turn away from God, it's going to be bad.
Right.
There is no promise of blessing for disobedience.
Amen.
There's a promise that you reap what you sow.
Right.
That still applies to us. The covenant under the New Testament is unconditional. It is. But you reap what you sow still. You see, Abraham, he's under that unconditional covenant. When he got out of the promised land, he should have stayed there, even though it gets hard. Sometimes it gets hard, but stay there. He got out and he went down, and trouble came his way. Right? He had to pay for that. A king takes his wife. He's there lying. He's like, well, is she my wife? Well, she's my sister. You know, I'm not going to call him a wimp, right? But I think his wife probably felt pretty bad. You're not going to stick up for me? Trouble! There's trouble when you don't stay in where God wants you.
Amen.
That didn't mean the covenant was void, though. God made a way for him to come back. And God would not permit that king to take his wife. You see, because he had a promise that he was going to keep. So what I'm trying to say to you is there's blessings promised to us. And if we turn away from God, you're going to hit hard times, but it's all part of his plan to bring you back. To bring you back.
Amen?
Amen. There's no license to go do whatever you want and you're not going to have trouble. You reap what you sow. We all reap what we sow.
Amen.
If we sow the word of God and we sow faith and we sow our hearts into God and we believe God and we give him our time and we seek ye first the kingdom of God, his word is going to prove that it's right.
Yes.
But if we actually turn from God, you know what? You can all look at your life as somebody that turned away from God.
Amen.
Did it work out for them? It never works out for them. Unbelief leads to trouble. Unbelief is sin, and it leads to destruction. But listen, if somebody is a predestinated child of God, he will bring them back. That's the unconditional covenant. It may take some suffering to come back. Listen, why don't we avoid the suffering and just stay serving God? Praise the Lord. Let's focus on the blessings. Who wants to trust God and serve God?
Amen.
I want to serve God. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to mess up sometimes, because we're human beings and we do. But listen, we have to deal with that as well. If we don't serve God, here's the principle in Israel. You won't be an overcomer, you'll be overcome. Doesn't mean he's going to throw you away. He doesn't throw the clay away. But he let Israel be overcome by their enemies when they served other gods.
Amen. That's true, brother.
And then when they repented and they came back to him, then they overcame again.
Right.
And how many times did it happen? Well, they served other gods, and then they were overcome, and then they cried out, and he came back, and he forgave them. How many times did it happen over and over and over again? And we look back and we say, didn't they ever learn? What about us? It's the same thing. We look back. We're supposed to learn from the example and say, you know what? It's not good for me to go the wrong way. It's good for me to serve God with all my heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, we need to remember they did have to fight. Someone might say, well, what about be still knowing God? I'm talking about knowing the difference between you, your flesh acting, and the Holy Ghost acting in your life. See, we do enter into his rest and we cease from our works when the Holy Ghost comes into our life. And then we watch him in amazement. Wow, that was wonderful. Look what he did. We don't take credit for what he does, even though he does it through us. You see, a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost is taught and understands the difference. Because God brings them to the place, shows them what they are, shows them their self, that they're no good, and then he says, but I can help you. And then we say, okay, I need help. Save me. And then when he does, and he lifts you out of the pit, and you overcome, you don't say, look what I did. You say, look what he did. Praise God. You know, I think it's very important, and God will spend a lot of time with you, maybe years, getting you to realize you're nothing. Because if you don't get that, you're going to take credit for something he does. Praise the Lord. So look at the story of Achan. It shows us clearly that sin must be dealt with in the promised land. Sin must be dealt with, and it must be dealt with severely. We don't excuse sin and say, well, I'm under an additional covenant. I'm under grace. You don't excuse sin that way. Sin must be dealt with. And the Holy Ghost, Joshua, he dealt with sin severely.
Yes.
Now, how does that translate back into the Gentile? Listen, the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Ghost and you sin against God, you're going to be miserable. Because Joshua is not going to be happy. The Holy Ghost is going to be grieved.
That's right.
Grieve not the Holy Ghost whereby you are sealed.
That's right.
But we can grieve the Holy Ghost. And when we do, he will lead you and he will guide you to repentance.
Amen.
That's how we deal with sin. We don't take people out and stone them today. We take ourselves to Calvary and we die to self. Through repentance, we say, Lord, I'm wrong. You know, that's so hard for some people that are never wrong. I said, where's the Holy Ghost in your life? I'm wrong so many times every day.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I just want to say I'm wrong, even though I didn't even see where I'm wrong, because I know it's coming. We're wrong. That's not a shameful thing. That means you're growing. When you can see where you're wrong, he's showing you, he's dealing with sin, he's helping us overcome sin. When we excuse sin and say, no, it's okay for me because I'm a son of God, I can sin whenever I want. Yeah, you're in for some hard times. If you really are a son of God, he'll hammer you. Until you wake up and you see that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
There is none righteous, not one.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you can keep sinning. That means we need to repent.
Right. Yes, that's right.
As soon as you can come to yourself, repent. That's the advice that Brother Branham gave to Brother Green. He said, Brother Green, as soon as you can come to your senses and recognize that that thought is evil, just repent right then. God, I don't want to think that way.
Yeah.
Forgive me, Lord.
Yeah.
Do you think he doesn't see that?
Yeah.
He does see it.
Amen.
We got to deal with sin.
Yeah.
And God has a provided way of escape. When sin comes into the camp, it has to be exposed. Remember, Joshua exposed the sin. The Holy Ghost isn't going to expose sin in our life. Listen, let's just face it. We're in an age of things being exposed, right? If you have sin in your life, you might as well expose yourself to God, or else he'll expose you to somebody else.
Amen.
Not that he doesn't love you, it's that it needs to be exposed.
Amen.
Sin needs to be exposed. So when we see it in our life, we go to him and we repent.
Right.
and we expose our own sin. I'm talking about an overcomer. Sin had to be exposed when Achan did that. And we expose sin and we confess our sin. And we're sincere about it. And we sincerely repent before God. And we confess our sin. And then the key part, you must repent, you must confess, and you must believe that He forgave you.
Amen.
That's a key. Too many people walk around condemned after they repented and confessed. Why? Because they don't fully believe the promise that says, 1 John 1, verse 8. Let's look at that, Sean. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Anybody here not have sin? You deceived yourself. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful?
Yeah.
And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His work. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. See, there's so many people that claim to be Christians. They live in a legalistic life and they're so full of themselves, they don't think they ever sin. I have to wonder if they have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes and reveals to you you're a sinner.
That's right, amen.
It shows you your carnal nature.
Amen.
God help us. So Israel dealt with sin, the sin of Achan, and after they dealt with it, before they dealt with Achan's sin, they were overcome, weren't they? People died at Ai, right? After they dealt with the sin, what happened? They were overcomers again. So listen, if you're wrong and you're convicted in your heart and you don't deal with that, you can't overcome. You can't pray. How can you pray with confidence?
Amen.
You can't. You're not going to want to pray. You're not going to want to come to church. You're going to avoid everything. Why? Because you're avoiding dealing with sin in your life. But if you'll deal with that sin, He'll overcome every enemy.
Amen.
We should be very severe on ourselves. Very severe. Praise God.
Amen.
So we need to realize Israel, you know, they weren't just attacked by the enemy. They attacked the enemy. When thoughts come into your mind, don't be passive about it. Be proactive about it.
Amen.
Matthew 16, verse 15. He says unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simeon and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The revelation.
Amen.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God.
Amen.
The gates of hell. Now, if you look at the gates of hell, it can mean all kinds of things. It can mean the powers of hell. I mean, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure, but I know whatever it is, it shall not prevail against the church of the living God.
Amen.
Right? Praise God. Jesus said, they shall not prevail. Which shows the gates of hell would be against the church of the living God. Right? So we got battles on our hands. No matter what the enemy does against the church of the living God, it shall not prevail. That's a promise of Jesus. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. These are promises you tuck in your pocket, right? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
This is a promise of Israel, but applies to us. I believe it applies to us. 1 John 4, 4. We quote this many times. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Do we believe that?
Amen.
See, when you run up against the devil and you can see the devil's fighting against you, he could be using other people, he could be coming direct into your mind. You need to realize greater is the Holy Spirit than any devil. Do we believe the word?
Amen.
It's the word of God. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, if you don't believe that, you're going to be overcome. But when you believe it, he can overcome. And you'll take action. Greater is he that's in you. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. We are not to be slaves of the devil.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Sin makes you a slave. Unbelief makes you a slave to the devil, and you operate the way he wants you to operate. We are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
In our rightful place, we are feared warriors.
Amen.
Other people, devils, fear us when we're in our rightful place. Amen. Picture a son of God walking in the word of God, walking in obedience to God, following Joshua with all of his heart, obeying the word of God, meditating on the word of God. The devil fears that kind of person. Because there's nothing he can do to stop that person. The only way he can stop that person is to get them to believe that that's not who they are. And that's what he spends time trying to do to you and me. You know how many Christians I've talked to, dedicated, sincere people, and one of the great things the devil does is try and convince them, make them doubt who they are. That's exactly what the devil... Why? Because he disarms you then. And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit in your life is trying to convince you who you are.
Amen.
Through the Word of God, through quickening the Word of God to you, through the preaching of the Word of God, through experiences with the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to talk about that because I think that's very important that we have experiences with the Holy Ghost. And there's a reason for that. God will supernaturally vindicate Joshua in your life. When you follow Joshua, when you obey God and you serve God, God in a supernatural way, he gives you something.
Yes.
And that gives you more confidence to follow Joshua.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
See, if you're a Christian and you've been pursuing God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He gives you a little something. Some people say, well, that's a coincidence. I just say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. We're in a battle. What are the weapons of our warfare? If we're feared warriors, what are the weapons? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is our battle.
Amen.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, not other people, every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And I like to look at that like that last verse. When I come to myself, I'm ready to revenge all disobedience.
Amen.
What happened there? I need to destroy that thing that caused me to trip up there. See? Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Israel had a natural land and natural enemies, but our battle is a spiritual battle. Our battle is in the mind. The greatest battle ever fought. And we must engage in fighting for control. We cannot allow enemy strongholds in our mind. Not permitted. Enemy strongholds, we must come against those strongholds. We are to tear down the strongholds of unbelief, evil thoughts, wicked imaginations. We are to literally attack them and bring them into captivity to the Word of God. Engage. Don't run from that. Engage. Halt.
Amen.
Who goes there? Evil thought, you did not come from the Holy Ghost. I'm taking you prisoner. See, identifying it helps you overcome it. It's not you. If it's against this word, if it's a perverted thought, it's from the devil.
Amen, brother. Amen.
The devil tries to get you to think that that's you. And most people in the world are slaves to the devils that get into their mind.
Amen.
No, we're not. We're sons and daughters of God. A perverted thought comes in our mind and say, halt! Evil thought! I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Try this on your head.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone from me, Satan. Listen, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
You resist and you watch him flee.
Amen.
The problem is if you don't resist,
Amen.
You accept
right.
the thought and then it becomes part of you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Maybe you don't have any problems in your life. I don't know. You know, see, I know you do. I know we all do. We all, if we're honest, we all have a battle, a raging battle in our mind. You know, you can walk into a room filled with unbelievers and you can perceive their thoughts. And it's not good. You pick up what they're thinking. And it's mostly evil. Look at what happened in the days of Noah. All the imaginations of the hearts of men were wicked continually.
Amen,
this day is getting to that.
Right.
Outside the true Holy Ghost filled believers, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire and really Christians, outside of them, the world is getting worse and worse and worse. Wicked imaginations. Look at the evil in the land. Look at the crazy people shooting people. You know what? The world is going insane as predicted by a prophet of God.
Amen.
We're here, brothers and sisters. We're living amongst insane people.
Amen.
Who scoff at what we believe. They scoff at the Bible. But we don't. Because we know the truth. Praise God.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are these strongholds? They're in our mind. You can't do that. That's not reasonable. That's not going to work. Pull that thing down. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I am an overcomer. You're not an overcomer. You're not even a child of God. I am an overcomer. Listen, you might have a few conversations by yourself. It's all right. The world will think you're nuts, but God will say, he's fighting.
Yes.
They're fighting the battle.
Yes.
I love when they use my word to fight.
Yes.
It's a great sword that cuts through spirits. Amen? We're going into the promised land. We want to be overcomers.
Yes.
Oh, Brother John, I don't want to have all that effort, you know. I just want to walk right through. It's not going to be that way. If you're going to overcome, you're going to fight. You're going to be a warrior. Our God's a warring God. Look at Israel. Battles everywhere they went. Battles. Overcoming. Battles. Battles. Supernatural victories when they served God. I love that. I love his victories. Praise. Bringing every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and Christ is the Word. Guard against thoughts that do not agree with the Word of God. That's something you can actively engage in. At once detected, call it out. Okay, you don't have to say it out loud. That's not right. I don't believe that. I reject that thought.
Amen.
Amen. This is a real battle. We all must engage. We look at our inlets to the body, what we see, taste, feel, hear, and smell. We got inlets to our natural body. What are the inlets to the spirit, the second realm there? Memory. You know, we all might have some memories that aren't so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Not edifying.
Amen.
Brother Bam, when he preached about this, you know, he said, blow out the shoots, you know. Just blow out the shoots of the memory, you know.
Amen,
that memory's not permitted. I'm not going to dwell on that. conscience, reasoning, imaginations, affections. Reasonings, oh my, that's the playground of the devil. Imaginations. Do you know what, do you ever look up the, I challenge every one of you here today to look up the definition of imagination. Do you realize it's a power? Say, I haven't been given any power. I haven't been given any, I'm just nobody. God gave you a power. And imagination is the power to imagine another world. Look at the virtual reality worlds that are being created through computers. And, you know, most of it's not good. But look what they've been able to do with imagination. Now they can, people can actually see with their actual carnal eye. They can put on these glasses. I've never done it, but I know it's true. You can put on glasses and you can see things. And but in your mind, you can also create. And it can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. Amen. Watch your imaginations. Wicked imaginations are not from God. They need to be torn down. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the Word of God. Amen? And then on the inside of the inside, it's faith or doubt. That's really who you are. It's, do you accept or do you reject? Do you accept the gospel of Jesus Christ or do you reject it? Do you accept evil thoughts from the enemy? Unbelief from the enemy? See, that is the way the Holy Spirit, that is why the Holy Spirit must be sealed on the inside of the inside. He must be in control so that he's on the throne of the heart. He controls what we accept, what we reject. Now, what are we to do? We're to fortify the gates, the inlets to our being, the feed on the. That's why we read the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not fully understand how reading the Word of God and feeding on the Word fortifies you, but listen, by faith you understand God's Word is more than just a newspaper. It's not just information. It's spirit and truth. Yeah. And so when you feed on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's able to quicken it. I'll say it like this. Sometimes when you read the Word of God, he may not use it right then. But later on, when you need it, he'll pull that out of the file and quicken that to you. Amen. How many times have you had that happen in your life? Where all of a sudden, you didn't even realize you knew that scripture that well, and it comes out when just when you need it. Most of the times when we're on the front lines witnessing to somebody, and you're like, wow, how did I do that? Because you didn't do it, he did it. But we feed on the Word of God and we bring the truth and the Spirit of God into us. Amen. And that fortifies the gates. Amen. Now what happens when you're not feeding on the Word of God and you're feeding on the trash of the world? Then you're not as strong. Right. Like the Indian chief. Which dog wins? You know, the one I feed the most. That's why you feed on the Word of God to strengthen your inner man. Strengthen the gates of the Holy Spirit and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God.
Amen.
Psalm 119, 105. The Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The Word is a lamp. It's a light. It shows us light.
Yes.
Listen, I can't tell you how many times you open the Bible and it gives me guidance. Was something I'm dealing with right now.
Amen.
I can't explain that. sanctify them. John 17:7. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God sanctifies us. We're washed by the water of the word. There's a cleansing. See, now, in our carnal mind, we don't understand how that works. But if you believe the word of God, the word sanctifies you. As you read the word of God, as you receive it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
And he is the word. Amen. So I wanted to talk about our greatest weapon. Do you know what our greatest weapon is? Let me just read what Brother Branham said. He said, now, along this journey, he promised to supply everything that we have need of. Whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever things, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, you shall have it. Now he gave us the strongest weapon that there is in all the world, and that's prayer. Prayer is what changes things. Now listen, the Christian doesn't realize what a force he has when he kneels on his knees before Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't realize what power that is. I think if we're honest, we would agree with that. We don't realize what's in our hands. Amen. If we did, we'd do it more. That's all of us, right? Nobody here could say, well, I pray enough, so I'll step out now. All right? The Christian doesn't realize what a force he has when he kneels and prays. If the people could only realize that what was given right to them, anything that you ask for will be given if you can appropriate the faith to believe it. You have to believe when you ask, right? That's why, see how devastating sin is? It takes that weapon out of your hand because you don't have any confidence to believe. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Sin disarms you. That's why the devil wants to lead you into sin. That's why we need to resist the devil. Listen, 99%, listen to this. Brother Branham talking about another place about healing and faith. 99% out of 100 has hope instead of faith. The first little symptoms arise, you doubt it, and it goes to show it wasn't God-given faith. God-given faith wouldn't take no for an answer. No matter what happened, now you can't bluff it. The devil, you can't bluff him. You've got to have the goods to prove it. He recognizes faith. He has to, for it's the only weapon that we have in our hands, and what produces faith is prayer. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. So you have to have faith. In other words, Brother Rand is saying a lot of people come to the prayer line and they think they have faith, but they have hope. And they don't have real faith, and they're trying to believe, and then they go out and there's a little bad symptom and say, see, it didn't work. How many times has that happened to us? How many times you pray for something and it doesn't happen exactly when you want it to happen, and you say, see, it didn't work. If you had faith, he's saying, you wouldn't stop until. I believe it. I don't take no for it. All circumstances doesn't matter. God said so.
Amen.
Expectations. Brother Brand says, what man calls great, God calls foolish. And what man calls foolish, God calls great. So we've got to do, what we've got to do is get back into the program of God and find out, after all, what God wants us to do. Do you know what God wants you to do? That's one of the things you got to find out. And the only way I know to do it is prayer. Prayer is the key. That's the answer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the control of human beings. There's no atomic bomb, no hydrogen bomb as powerful as prayer. So listen, if we were following Joshua, now picture that son and daughter of God that's in the promised land, overcoming, obeying Joshua, following Joshua. They have confidence when they pray. They don't pray and have a little unbelief mixed in there. They pray believing. So listen, you hear about somebody in trouble, some situation there and there, you get on your knees and you launch atomic bombs. And you believe it's going to make a difference. Prayer changes things. Prayer sometimes is the best thing you can do for a brother or sister that's struggling. We want to get involved our way and manipulate the situation and force people to do what we want.
Amen.
But many times the best thing we can do and the strongest thing we can do is to pray and let God deal with that situation. But do we trust Him? Do we believe Him? Do we have confidence when we pray? See, I think people don't have confidence in prayer, and that's why they think very little of that. That ain't going to work. I got to do something else. That's unbelief. You do not believe that prayer changes anything. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Last quote here, expectations. So we believe that prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the care of human being. You know, prayer one time changed the mind of God. Did you know that? Sure did. Hezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet he was going to die on the bed. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly and asked the Lord for 15 more years of life. And God sent the prophet right back and said, I've heard, and he spared him for that time. See, when God had already announced his death, but he spared him because that he prayed. See, when it looks impossible, don't give up. Pray. So if prayer is that powerful, what it can do, my, we don't realize how great it is. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look to the promises of God. Let's have confidence and follow Joshua. And again, what I'm saying to you, and I believe this is a promise of God, as you follow Joshua, God supernaturally vindicates to you. And that gives you more confidence. I just want to finish with something. I've shared this with you before, but I'm just going to share just little nuggets from that you probably don't remember. Where one time I was following Joshua, and I was doing the right thing, and I wanted to know more about prayer, and the Holy Spirit led me to my brother said, "Why don't you?" Martin Luther wrote something called A Simple Way to Pray. And so you know the story, some of you. And so I went down to Lutheran Theological Seminary. And listen, when God does something, it's eternal.
Amen.
When God helps you overcome in a certain way, you're never going to forget it.
Amen.
All right? So that's why I've mentioned this a few times. So I go down there, and I want to learn how to pray. And there's a little library in there. And I'm walking around. And there's books as big as this room right here. And there's books everywhere. And I was depressed in my heart. I'm saying, "Lord, I want to pray better." God sees your heart.
Amen.
And I kept walking around, and I walked right back to the same place. And the first book I just pulled out, flipped it to the middle, and there was A Simple Way to Pray.
Amen.
Supernatural.
Amen.
How did that happen? Now, if you're a Christian and you follow Joshua, he gives you those experiences. I'm sure you all have many of them that you could talk about. I'm just talking about one. And what this showed me was that God was already dealing with me in prayer, and I didn't realize it. Now, watch. Watch what Luther said. Luther was tapped in. I'll tell you that.
Amen.
He says he basically would look at the Our Father when you're praying, and he would use that as a guideline, and he would dissect it. And he would say, sing psalms, and he would do something to get in the Spirit of God. But he was sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost, and that's what I want you to get. I want you to expect supernatural things in prayer.
Amen.
Now listen to this. I'm finishing here. He says, again, he's talking about different parts. He breaks up the Our Father, but he says, "It may happen occasionally that I get lost among so many ideas in one part that I forego the other six." I love this. Now, catch this. "If such an abundance of good thoughts comes to us, we ought to disregard the other petitions, make room for such thoughts, listen in silence, and under no circumstances obstruct them. The Holy Spirit himself preaches here."
Amen.
You mean the Holy Spirit can preach to me in prayer? Yes.
Amen, brother.
Yes. The Holy Spirit himself preaches here, and one word of his sermon is far better than 1,000 of our prayers. Many times, now catch this, this is the supernatural part of prayer, that if you pray, you'll catch this. "Many times I've learned more in one prayer than I might have learned much from reading and speculation." So what is he saying? Luther's saying sometimes he's in prayer and he's going through his form of tradition and different parts, and which is fine, but then the Holy Spirit strikes.
Amen.
And he just forsakes all his pre-plans in prayer because the Holy Spirit's preaching here.
Amen.
And he yields, be sensitive to that, and he yields to that. And he said many times he learned more in one prayer. In other words, the Holy Spirit is able to quicken us understanding. I love that. Now, let me read another place here. Oh, I'm getting excited.
Hallelujah.
All right, I repeat here what I previously said in reference to the Lord's Prayer. "If in the midst of such thoughts, the Holy Spirit begins to preach in your heart with rich and lightning thoughts, honor him by letting go of this written scheme." In other words, you know, all your plans in prayer, just forsake them if he comes in, right? "Be still and listen to him." Be still, listen to him. What a beautiful thought.
Amen.
"Who can do better? Listen to him who can do better than you can. Remember what he says and note it well, and you will behold wondrous things in the law of God." Remember what he says in prayer. Remember those quickening times. And the final one here I want to share. This is, and I can share this with you. You can find it on the internet now. Back when I was looking for it, that's how long ago that was. So, As I have said before, I do not want anyone to feel bound by my words or thoughts. I only want to offer an example for those who may wish to follow it. Let anyone improve it who is able to do so, and let him meditate either on all commandments at one time or as many as he desire. For the mind, now listen about the mind. This is incredible. I want you to catch this. The mind, once it is seriously occupied with a matter, be it good or evil, can ponder more in one moment than the tongue can recite in 10 hours or the pen write in 10 days. There's something quick, subtle, and mighty about the mind and soul. It is able to review the Ten Commandments in their fourfold aspect very rapidly if one wants to do so and is in earnest. That's the mind. It's incredible. Now notice what Luther said, though. The mind, once it is seriously occupied with the matter, be it good or evil. If you don't guard your mind and you let the devil set up strongholds, he'll take control of your mind and use it for wickedness. And that's not the Holy Spirit. You could say, Brother John, that's happening to me. Tear down the strongholds. How do I tear it down? Repent is the first way.
Amen.
Confess your sin and believe He's faithful to forgive you. Let's all stand. The promised land. There's more to it. There's more going to be more next week.
Praise the living.
Amen. I believe God wants us to be overcomers.
Yes.
But many times we think the battle's wrong. My neighbor, you know, the guy down the street, my boss, he's the problem, you know. But many times, the real problem is within. You know, when you look at Israel, it really wasn't the other nations that were the problem. It was them, the enemy within them. Let's bow our heads. Father, oh, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word. And to let the Holy Ghost lead us, to let Joshua take us deeper. Lord, forgive us where we failed you, where we've grieved you, where we've let the enemy use our mind and set up strongholds. Lord, I ask that each and every one of us here, you give us the strength and the wisdom to tear down the strongholds of the enemy in our mind. And Lord, let us fill our mind with good things in the Word of God, the promises of God, the blessings promised by you. Help us, Lord, to meditate day and night, to seek you with all of our heart. Oh, Lord, help us to feed the Holy Spirit in our life. And Lord, if there's one here that's doesn't have the Holy Spirit, I pray they would not rest day or night till they receive you, Lord. And we know it's a simple formula. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Lord, the Holy Ghost is promised. Help us to do our part, to repent, to be baptized in Christian baptism. And Lord, help us to point people to Calvary in the way of escape in the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. I ask it in Jesus' name. Yes, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, all